Hello, this is Dr. Jeffrey Lieberman of Columbia University speaking to you today from Medscape. My comments today are going to address what might be considered to be the new thing in mental health care. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, oh, he's going to be talking about precision medicine or personalized medicine or genomic medicine. And while, yes, that is the new thing, which is promising to revolutionize how all of medicine and all of disciplines are practiced and healthcare is provided, I want to talk about something that's of comparable significance but hasn't reached the same level of visibility and expectation of impact. But that other new thing that's going to, I think, have a huge impact and really transform the way healthcare is provided, and particularly is the case for mental health care, is technology. I think that it's apparent that in our society, in civilization, so much of what we do and how our lifestyles are shaped is due to progress, innovation of technology. Just look at the internet. Just look at electricity. Just look at computers. Just look at, you know, jet propulsion, air travel, all of these things. Well, in medicine, we've evolved similarly, dependent on techniques with the development of electrophysiological devices for diagnosis, like the EKG, and diagnostic imaging measures or methods, such as the MRI and PET scans. Of course, in psychiatry, mental health care, we haven't been able to take advantage of some of these technological innovations as much as our sibling specialties have been able to do. But I certainly expect that we will be able to in the future. However, the new technological innovation that is sort of emerging and does seem to be going to impact psychiatry and mental health care at a time which is commensurate with the other specialties of medicine, is the technology that informs how we use the internet-based smartphone mobile app devices. Now, the rudimentary ways in which this has already begun to permeate medicine and mental health care has been with things like the electronic health record, which Epic seems to have really captured the market with thus far, imperfect as it may be. Telemedicine, which is ideally suited to psychiatry in terms of being able to provide consultation at a distance. But the real tsunami of technology and devices that's, I think, awaiting us has to do with the use of applications that are smartphone, mobile device based. And these have begun to proliferate in so many ways and attract the attention of many companies in the private sector. The sort of initial idea is to have smartphone-based applications that can perform several potential functions. One is a monitoring function, having apps that can passively monitor the activities or biological signals of an individual. So whether it's movement, whether it's heart rate, whether it's respiration, level of activity, and has an ongoing record that can be cataloged and observed and interpreted by clinicians. A second is as a means of communication, and doctors have begun to employ it already, whether it's a FaceTime or Skyping or texting, that these are ways to maintain contact with patients remotely in a variety of situations. The other area is having apps that provide some kind of actual therapeutic assistance. ranging from CBT to motivational interviewing to supportive types of techniques or protocols when needed. And all of these things have great potential, which can expand the reach of healthcare providers, and particularly psychiatrists and mental health care clinicians, and avail a larger proportion of people in the population of help when they need it. Problem is, as I see it, is that while this is, there's been a groundswell of interest in this area, and you have, you know, heavy hitter companies like Microsoft and Google or Alphabet, Apple, that are getting involved in this, they're developing approaches which can be, you know, just rolled out and marketed or made available. But the critical thing is going to be when they are vetted in a way that establishes what their real efficacy is in contributing to healthcare, either in terms of diagnostic monitoring or in terms of therapeutic intervention. And that will be necessary in order for these devices and applications to become eligible for a revenue stream that comes from third-party payers. So insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, aren't going to pay for anything unless it's really vetted and approved by no less than the FDA. And that means that these things will have to be subject to some rigorous testing and acquisition of data which demonstrates, you know, their value, their reliability, and their efficacy. So while companies are going at it full force and spending a lot of money trying to develop these techniques, it's been done mostly in the private sector. Some people in academia have begun to sort of put their foot in the water and engage either in the development of these applications or devices or their assessment of, you know, their effectiveness. But this has been a very limited engagement. And it's clear that the real, you know, strength and ability to move this area forward in an innovative way and to develop technology that can be used in healthcare with great advantage has got to come from the private sector. It's like pharmaceutical development. Academia just doesn't have the resources, and the NIH is not going to fund it. But there probably will need to be engagement with the private sector and the academic medical community to vet these. And that has not yet begun to happen. And I don't know if it's because of that the process in terms of development is just not mature enough, so it's gotten to that stage, or companies haven't thought this fully through, which is hard to imagine why they would not have. But that will necessarily happen in order for these to be seriously considered to be elements of treatment for given conditions that become part of any standard of care. They'll have to be tested. They'll have to be shown via studies or controlled trial applications to produce data that demonstrates their value and then reviewed by the FDA and approved. The FDA is aware of this. They know what's coming. They're prepared to handle this, but it still hasn't really come to fruition. So I think that the private sector needs to figure out how it's going to engage in this process, unless they want to just make this, they want these technologies to be recreational, that are able to be used by people and sort of acquired off the shelf or off the Apple store or wherever it might be, they might be located, and then used on an individual basis by clinicians or patients, but not really permeating the clinical practice and achieving incorporation into standard of care and becoming reimbursable by third-party payers. This, I think, is the goal. I mean, one sort of leading edge indicator of how this has gone is 23andMe. 23andMe, which is many now sort of imitators, is essentially recreational genetics. Anybody can pay to get their genome sequenced and reported back to them in some fashion as to what things they may be vulnerable to or have positive genetic background for. But it's not something that you're going to get any third party to pay for, and also it's not something that any doctor is necessarily going to base their diagnoses or treatment decisions on. At some point, though, this could be. And the same is true for these mobile device and smartphone-based applications, which I think has a great potential and probably the greater potential for psychiatry and mental health care than perhaps any other discipline. So this is something to stay tuned for. We'll have to see how the companies continue their efforts to fill this engage in this market. I do think it's a very important and valuable undertaking that potentially could be transformative or, as they say now, disruptive. But it really hasn't sort of begun to happen yet, despite what people might say and what you might hear in the news. That's when the rubber will really hit the road, when academia and the private sector engage in serious development of these smartphone and mobile device applications. So thank you for listening today. This is Dr. Jeffrey Lieberman of Columbia University speaking today from Medscape.